We hear these words from the Gospel of Mark in the 13th chapter. Jesus talking about the time that is to come, and he says, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home, puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to keep on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. What I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is, as we begin a new season and a time with special events in the life of the church, an opportunity for us to share those moments with our friends, with our neighbors, with our enemies, with our family. There are these cards in the back of the church, and I pray that you will take 1, 2, 10 with you, because this season often invites people to something, and they can't identify what it is. But something is compelling them, and often a simple invitation will be that which might draw them forth into a time just of quiet and meditation on a Friday night, or a time of fellowship and joy like we will share with our neighbors later this day, or a time of candlelight and immersing ourselves in the mystery of God's story on Christmas Eve. This invitation could be that door for someone in their life. Something they know, but they can't explain. And so I pray that you might take one with you and share with them these opportunities. What will set us journeying in search of the Christ this Advent? How far are we prepared to go out of our way to look for the signs of his coming and to prepare a path? How are we going to travel through this season? Will we be burdened by responsibilities and tasks, loaded with others' expectations, overwhelmed by their needs? Will we be full of joy or weary of grief? What will guide our steps in these weeks? Will we follow a thread of longing, the hint of an alternative pathway, the words and music of the gathered community? These are the questions we ponder as we begin a new year. Let us take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh, and may it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. When we gathered last Sunday, we gathered on the final worship of the year. I know I did not convince our young people that it is a new year, but we did. And we focused on that Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, Reign of Christ Sunday, of what should be, what should reign supreme in our lives, Christ and his ways, God and his ways. Prior to entering a new year, we remind ourselves of this so that we might enter the new year in the right state of mind and with our hearts centered on the right thing. We were reminded of that as Christ said in Matthew, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. And we heard the people respond, well, when was this? And Christ said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Now, with all of that, that means that this Sunday, again, though our young people were not convinced, is the new year. And as I told them, so I encourage you, in the grand tradition of New Year's, that makes this Sunday Resolution Sunday. Advent, to some degree, is all about preparations. So in some ways, it's all about resolutions, about making things right. But Advent is not a season that breaks us in gently to why we make them. It's not an easing into an exercise routine over weeks and months or a diet, but a program of shock, a spiritual shock and awe. Yes, eventually in this season, we'll link up with that feel-good part of the story about the nice little engaged girl from that tiny town in Galilee that travels to Bethlehem expecting the birth of her first baby. But that doesn't happen until much later, and we will sing those songs also much later. Paul and I will work hard to hold you in this season in the meantime. Truth is, we've largely forgotten this as a season. And we've turned it into a get ready for Christmas time rather than what it really should be, resolution time. The splash of cold water and prophecies of end days shake us awake. So we're hit hard with Advent's message with words about the end and encouraged to look and lean forward to the day when this will happen, when Christ brings all things to completion. By way of this, we are reminded that this is not a get ready for Christmas time, but a get ready for Christ's final coming in light of his first coming time. The story of the first Christmas, of that pregnancy, marks the decisive move towards the ultimate establishment of God's reign of justice and peace on the earth. And it's because we know that part of the story that we make resolutions on this day, that we make right for what our lives should look like for the day that is yet to come. But it's so easy for us to pay lip service and say, come, Lord Jesus, come, and to speak of the hope of Christ's final day of glory, but hard to truly believe. Do we really want that day to come? Are we ready for Christ to come? Recall how I said last week that I thank God as I awake every morning that God has not returned yet, giving me yet another opportunity to reform my life and my ways to be more like God's and what God knows I'm capable of. It's this very difficulty in answering these questions, though, about whether we're ready for Christ's return that shows us the necessity of this season of Advent, that shows us the extent to which we're over-invested in the here and the now. But the more we invest in the world and profit from the brokenness and lack of integrity in it, the more we fear any change from it. We end up unable to make change, unwilling to pay the price. And so rather than truly making ready in our lives, we walk away. We walk away from doing what is right. We walk away from preparing as we should. We walk away over-busying ourselves among the trivialities of life. If you don't believe me, just yesterday I received a text from my wife telling me in no uncertain terms the glories of the Christmas tree shop parking lot. Your laughter shares the truth. We inebriate ourselves with the worries of this life. In the present day, filling it with the wrong things, filling our homes with more stuff that we really don't need, climbing corporate ladders, filling our bodies with rich food and worrying excessively about our accessories, overinvested in the here and now. Social psychologists say that one of the ways that we react to threatening news, which there's plenty of that these days, isn't there, which we feel powerless to do anything about, is to ignore it, to suppress it from consciousness so that we become oblivious to it. And that one of the ways that we do that is to distract ourselves from it with entertainments and consumption and festivities and intoxicants. In other words, we party ourselves, we consume ourselves into ignorance and oblivion. Is it that far off? Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and though good, now Giving Tuesday. Christmas cards to write and send off. Ours arrived on Friday, and we now have to address them all. Gift buying to be accomplished. Home decorating, church decorating to happen. Travel plans to arrange, parties to attend. Is there any room left for the spiritual, for the religious, for the real preparations and resolutions that we're to be about? That's what Jesus says. Be about the right preparations. Make right. It's a reminder that God is not yet done with us and not done with the world. Creation and redemption are not once and for all over and done with acts of God. God created the world and keeps on actively creating it. And God in Christ acted to redeem the world, and God in Christ keeps on actively redeeming it. God is not yet done. And so we work and make a commitment, a resolution to make right as we wait. As we wait for the long expected Jesus. As we wait for a glimmer of light in the world's darkness, as we wait for the renewal of hope in our lives. And Jesus says, be on your guard while you wait, which can also mean pay attention to yourselves. Maybe what really is being said to us this day is that between the time when Jesus first came and the time when Jesus will come again, we've been called to the ministry of paying attention to ourselves and to others, to one another. Jesus is calling us to actively participate in paying attention, to change the world, to become part of the struggle for peace and justice and righteousness. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to lift up the downtrodden, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to raise the dead in spirit to new life. Jesus is calling us not so much to look for the signs of his coming, but to be the signs of his coming. He's calling us to make right. Now we should know this. We pray for this reality and pray it of ourselves every week. We say, your kingdom come, your... Oh good, you know it. On earth as in heaven. It's a direct declaration of what has begun as we await all that is still to come. You see, we do not worship just a historical figure, simply what God has already done, already accomplished. Rather, our worship is always illuminated and shaped by what is to come, by what God has promised, by promises that find an echo with ancient, deep yearnings inside. It's always present in our worship, but in this season of Advent, God calls us to go more deeply into that experience, to listen to the hungers and hopes that well up within us, and to stand on the tiptoes of our souls and crane our necks to peer over the horizon to see if we can make out the source of the light that's drawing ever nearer. Advent is a time that gives us the sight to see the light in the resolutions we make for the path our lives will take. Advent's when we establish our resolutions and determine to see them through, to be sprouts on the fig tree of new life, to be a voice louder than the roaring of the seas as we proclaim the love of God, to shine as bright as the sun and moon and stars as we show forth the light of Christ in a dark and lonely world. Advent is the time when we pray the words not just with our lips, but with our hearts, not because they are true, but because we are being drawn on toward something, toward final fulfillment. And so our words pull us towards what we need to do to grow, to be formed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so we keep praying week after week that we might stretch our faith and push ourselves a little closer to actually living the words that we pray. In this way, our worship in this season is not simply an expression of who we are now, but ultimately an expression of who we hope to become in Christ. For in worship, and this is all the more true during Advent, we stand with one foot in the present and the other in the completed kingdom to come. And it is in that place of tension and of eventual reconciliation that we know what Advent means, and we can join our voices, hesitant though they may be, with the prayer of the church down through the centuries to this time. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. In the promise which is everywhere about us, hold us, God. In the longing for a new world and new living, cradle us, God. In the need to see Advent's revelation in our world, direct us, God. In the silence of memories that haunt us, comfort us, God. In the hunger for justice that aches in us, feed us, God. In the yearning for love in each of our days, reassure us, God. In the setting out of truth in our political world, aid us, God. In the call for peace in our crazy world, hear us, God. In the search for healing in our broken world, find us, God. In the gathering round the table, gather with us, God. In the breaking of bread and the sharing of cup, share with us, God. In the community of faith, reveal yourself, God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.